Welcome to Shit You Wish Your Building Did, the must-watch podcast for transforming your commercial spaces into smart buildings. Today, we're joined by Nick Clark and Mike Brewman from Architects Orchid Swanky to discuss their recent acquisitions and how they are planning to improve the delivery of technology on commercial building projects. So join us for this in-depth conversation with Nick and Mike. Remember to like the episode and subscribe to stay updated with our latest episodes. Ready to transform your building with smart technology? Let's go. Good. Okay. Welcome, Nick. Welcome, Mike, to the podcast.
Good to see you.
And both returning guests as well. How about that? First time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, look, main reason I wanted to get you both back on was the merger, the acquisition of Vanti by Orchid Swanky. And it's been a busy year for you guys, four acquisitions. So, I mean, Nick, for you, I mean, there's a clear strategy there of inorganic growth, at least in terms of the smart building services portion of the business. Would you give us like an overview for people who aren't familiar with Orchid Swanky?
About
the business and what you're planning and how you're executing on it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're an unusual company. So Orchid Swanky is the only architecture firm on the UK stock market. And it was floated back in the 80s. And so we have a number of private investors, although the majority of shareholders were former partners of the firm. It never really used the listing the way that most public companies do. So it sort of just stayed there as a very expensive structure for an architecture group. And you talked to me on this show about a year ago.
Yep.
When it had acquired my business, Torpedo Factory Group, which was a systems integrator that had started in AV but was becoming a master systems integrator. And the strategy that the Orchid Swanky board was deploying was to lean on their connections and contacts in the architecture world, but do something beyond just architecture in order to justify the use of the listing and to make it a public company that becomes a bit more conventional, where it's got an appealing offer to outside investors who want to come and get involved. And it's not just a professional services firm, which, you know, conventionally professional services firms don't need a lot of outside capital. And so they've tended not to do well on the stock market. And certainly the history of Orchid Swanky has kind of shown that. I think it was recognition that change was needed.
Mm.
But TFG was really in the fairly early stages of becoming an MSI. And we were always clear that we would need to use acquisitions to accelerate the change, just to get on with implementing the plan. Mm. So we then, in July, we acquired a small distributor of smart building software and hardware. And in October, we acquired EcoDriver, which is an energy management platform. So it's got its own bespoke software, and it sells that on a sort of SaaS model, and it comes and helps get involved. And it doesn't just provide the software, it comes and provides advice and helps clients to use their buildings more in a more energy efficient way. Mm-hmm. But then to really accelerate TFG's positioning as a master systems integrator, we wanted to acquire, well, the opportunity came up to acquire Vanti, and we were very pleased to be able to do that. And so I feel now that we really have quite a lot to be getting on with what we've got. Obviously, always keep an eye on what's out there, but we really want to start to create the links internally.
Sure.
Vanti's contacts can really accelerate the journey that TFG is on, and we can start to use the contacts with the other bits of the group, and make sure that we're sort of sharing knowledge between the different companies in the group.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I
I'm going to give you some credit here. I read your company report, and I have to say it's actually readable. This is the first time I've been able to properly understand a chairman's statement. So well done for that.
I will let our chairman know he's a man who's gifted with plain speaking, as I can attest from the board meetings. I do find one of the challenges with PLC reports is they are enormous, and
yes.
there's a few pages at the front where you get to say what you want, and almost everything else is mandated with a whole load of regulation, yeah. and quite painful. So it's precious. There's precious pages at the front. We guard carefully and say what we want to say.
Exactly. And I saw it. You were mentioning an Innovate UK funded project about using responsible AI in building energy management. So I was interested, if you can talk a little bit about that. And about whether that's going to be something that will form part of a product going forward.
So I think I have to be slightly careful, just because it's a very large consortium. It's kind of unusual to have nine partners in an Innovate project, and there's six commercial companies and three academic partners. The lead partner is a small business that. We would certainly consider investing in. This is really a way of getting to know them and understand them better, and get more experience at working in a project with quite a few partners. Clearly, more broadly, AI has huge applications in the smart building space. There are lots and lots of relatively low-level decisions that need making to run buildings, and it makes sense to. That AI is taking a lot of those decisions. So it's a chance to get a bit more exposure to that space and see what develops over the course of the project, which the next 12 months or so.
Yeah, and I suppose then you'll be publishing updates and findings as you go along.
Yes, certainly there's a... there'll be an... I'm not sure what we publish as we go along. There's a review by Innovate UK, and then we'll see what comes out at the end. I think we don't go public until the end, so we'll see.
Specifically, I mean, you mentioned those four acquisitions and sort of roughly the order, but and we have Mike here. Hi, Mike. The Vanti acquisition. I mean, how did that come about?
I don't know if I've told you this, but you played quite a part in it yourself, Jim. I first met Mike nearly 10 years ago at an ISC show, and was really impressed with Mike and with the Avanti's approach, and I felt they were very forward thinking. And at the time, it was more of an AV integrator as TFG was, and we had a couple of discussions about things, and we kind of lost contact, and then. It was actually at the Smart Building Conference in 2022, I think, which was the first time I met you, Jim. You were a speaker at the conference. Mm-hmm. I was in the audience. Mm-hmm. And you put up a slide about building life cycle, I think, and you credited Vanti, and I saw their logo. And I thought, I went to this conference having sort of seen the light about the need to become a master systems integrator and to find out more. And then, lo and behold, of course, Vanti got there before me and made a point of messaging Mike to see if he was at the show. I think you weren't that year. And but we got back in touch and were super impressed with what they'd been doing in the intervening years, and was really keen to get involved. And we had discussions several times over the sort of the last couple of years about some sort of investment in Vanti. They had quite a lot of interest and quite high valuations. And one of the challenges as a small public company is that there are certain rules that we have to fit in around the size of acquisition that you can do without triggering huge amounts of expense. And so it wasn't really possible to work with them in a way that was kind of compliant and straightforward for us to do as a public company. And then the way the sort of the market has been quite challenging for fundraising in the last year. There was they had a gap in funding. We were able to come and get involved, and for really an incredibly good deal for our shareholders. Pick up the Vanti business, both the MSI work and also the software team and the software products that they've developed. So, just really pleased to have that opportunity, really.
Yeah, sure. And from my perspective, I think it's a great fit, and that's why I wanted to get you guys on to talk about it.
Yeah.
By the way, Mark, I never realized Vanti actually stands for something, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you read it backwards, it's IT and AV.
There you go. Yeah, I never realized that's where that. From your perspective, what do you see as the synergies now then? You're part of this architectural group, and they're offering smart building services. How do you see that going forward?
That's just really exciting, Jim. I think it was bizarre, kind of just as we crossed the threshold and we met, really just in passing, some of the senior team at the end of the meeting, and everything just seemed to click very nicely. They got very excited about the fact that they had a lot of clients that were already kind of talking to them about this stuff, but really they didn't have anywhere for it to go. And then also I think they've seen a couple of instances where on quite high profile projects, you've almost had it kind of bolted on at the end, and they felt that kind of jarring disconnect between the vision for how the building should function from an architectural perspective, but then the technology really being a bit of a bolt on. So we're already into opportunities with them offering almost a differentiated service in terms of the offering to their clients, and doing that through their kind of usual RFP and tender process. Mm-hmm. But the hope is that we can really set them apart. And I think the thing that we're all agreed on is that the architectural finishes with a big A, which is a running joke internally, versus technical architecture with a little A, is definitely not joined up, and that those finishes in terms of the interaction experience, particularly for users of the building and the technology, don't match a lot of the very beautiful architectural finishes that get put in as the building is put together.
You mean like when someone sticks a big sensor on a pole that hangs down from the stuff like that?
All of those things. Well, and also I think it's interesting now understanding another domain for me personally that I haven't been in. And, you know, even back kind of when we did the Library of Birmingham in 2011 and we had Mekanoo with the architects, and everything was painted in Mekanoo blue, which was this paint that required 7 coats. And if a wall got chipped, the entire thing had to be repainted, and demands for anything that went on the ceiling to be in black. No exceptions, which ended up in just ridiculous stuff like us taking equipment to pieces and respraying it and things like this, voiding all warranties just to get the architectural finishes. So I think it's an interesting coming together now, understanding both sides of that. But also there is a need for technical architecture with a little A, because it isn't done in buildings at the moment. And for a lot of the reasons that we've talked about previously in the way that the construction process buys things in little contractual silos, and no one thinks about either joining it together or the people are going to use it on a day-to-day basis or for operating the building itself.
Because, I mean, we've talked for years, haven't we, about the technical decisions, the technical planning or choices not being made early enough in the design process, being in, you know, someone advocating for technology in the design team, at least in new construction. Can you see this model, like this kind of business relationship, being able to push technology further up earlier in new construction projects?
Yes, I think is the short answer. I mean, we're going to give it a really good shot. I think it's probably less about it's less about pushing the systems themselves further up and probably more about pushing the experience down. And that's where, again, the conversations that we've had with some of the folks that we're working on the projects with at the moment has been brilliant, because a lot of it's been about how we're representing the technology but grounding it in the space. So for particular types of rooms, you know, what are you going to see? What's on the wall? What's on a mobile device? What's on a, you know, a totem or a kiosk? Or is there someone who's hosting the space that's running things on an iPad or, you know, whatever? And so it becomes more about how are you making the space work, which I think for me is the exciting part. We've tried to do a lot of those bits and pieces, you know, originally with things like day in the life walkthroughs and more functional design, but it always felt like it was coming a bit too late and it didn't feel like it was actually grounded in the building, its use, and all of the things that architects do think about. So long term, and I'm probably talking slightly out of line here, but I'll keep going anyway. My hope and aspiration is that you know, architects might become, or there might be a specialism within the architecture side of things that is a lot more around the functional design. And if you look at, you know, traditional kind of software design or systems integration outside of the built environment, you would normally have functional consultants or business analysts that are really looking at, you know, how people are going to interact with these systems. And once that's then defined properly, we can then move into the business of how do we pick the right systems, what's going to support the experience, and how do we do that in a joined up way, not in, you know, what is still happening. And was in a 900,000 square foot, very prestigious building just the other day where nothing has been thought about. And so you are still playing scrap heap challenge in terms of trying to make the best of a bag of bits that someone has bought through the process to deliver a set of experiences that really should have been designed in from the get-go. And so I think the group's value then becomes the definition of the functional experience, but then also the kind of golden thread of the delivery of the technology against that experience all the way through into operating it in an appropriate way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, brilliant. Very interesting. We, I don't know if actually we mentioned it already, but obviously part of the Vanzi acquisition was the software assets, right? The workplace technology platform. I'm going to talk about plans with that. I know obviously it kind of seems to fit quite nicely with the distribution company you have as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I really love about Vanzi was just the scale of ambition that other master systems integrators haven't thought to do, of just like, we need better software. Let's build some ourselves. Yeah. We will get this. No one else is making it. Let's just get on and do it. And you know, and I think Kahoo is a great workplace technology platform. It's in 20 countries worldwide. It's unlike a lot of the others. It's not pure software. There's some hardware too. I think that's patented or patent pending. Clearly, there's some work to do to make sure we've got the right features, but to getting the reporting right. But it's a product that can be deployed much faster if it's more than just us. And having in the group a workplace technology distribution company, as you say, does provide a really good route to that. Mm-hmm. Means we're going to have to make sure that it's got the right, you know, technical documentation and so on. We're not rushing it out immediately. There's stuff to be done to get it something that other integrators are comfortable selling. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a tremendous product. And it fits really well for AV integrators in particular, who are used to a hardware component and a bit uncomfortable with something that's pure software. Mm. It's it's just a bit outside their comfort zone for quite a lot of integrators, I think. But conversely, rather than something that's just pure software that's self-serve, there is a role for integrators to get involved and come and, you know, help guide customers through it.
Mm. And the other software product, SmartCore, again, in your in the annual report, I picked out the description of, you know, seeing as potentially transformational for the group. So I'd be interested in your, you know, the, why you said that.
Yeah. So I think that is the potentially incredibly exciting part of this. I mean, I'm in no doubt that, you know, master system integration work is profitable and interesting work, but the opportunity to deliver building operating systems is just huge. And I really liked Vanti's approach in terms of building it as an open source product. So there's really two versions. There's a community edition that you can use for kind of grassroots education and to get people developing it and to provide that sort of the continuity that if anything happened to the developer, you know, your building isn't going to fall over. You've got an open source platform. You're not tied into something proprietary. But then there is also an enterprise edition that has you know, additional features and security and reliability, clear upgrade paths and support. And in that way, it's a similar model to Red Hat and their development of the Linux platform. And, you know, that's a firm that was, for those who aren't aware, was bought by IBM for, I think it was $34 billion. It was a hugely successful story for investors. Mm. You know, if we can get close to that, from where we are at the moment, our shareholders will be very pleased.
They will.
And it's you know, certainly something to aim for.
And it's not really something that anyone, as far as I know, has bought to the smart building, commercial building playing field yet. So I think that's what I'm interested in. I've always thought this model of having an open source product and then, you know, creating a development community around it and then obviously selling enterprises is a great model and hasn't really been bought to commercial buildings. So, I mean, I just think it's going to be really interesting to see it, hopefully to see it grow.
Yeah, I think most of the competition are £1 billion companies trying to sell their own product to the exclusion of everything else. And I really like that it's something that independent firms can get involved with and can offer.
Exactly. I mean, Mike, you've mentioned this sort of like, I think the Red Hat analogy definitely fits. Is there anything you wanted to add?
I don't think necessarily I would add. I think the nice thing, actually, your session at Smart Building Conference this year, Jim, in terms of, you know, this isn't an industry that supports hockey sticks very well, just because of the nature of pace of change and also the ability to land yourself into the right part of the supply chain at the right time. Mm. So I think to now be in a public company that is a bit more patient in terms of you know, that larger scale, longer term transformational change and not being just purely focused on hockey sticks in 36 months gives us the potential to do something quite different. And I think our experience in terms of trying to raise money showed us two things. Was most investors didn't have a thesis for the built environment because they didn't think it was a sector that was doing anything particularly exciting from a digital perspective. But then even those who had got into it, I think, were starting to realize that just having a product-based approach was not really a recipe for long-term success. And in fact, we had one fund come back to us that said 12 months ago, they would have advocated strongly against an integrator being matched with a product, but based on their experience, really had found that that was an optimal way to approach the market, because of the need to work with so many different stakeholders, that doing that just from a product perspective is actually quite difficult to achieve. It was just very unfortunate they were sat in a different region and were actively not investing in the UK.
Yeah.
But great for Nick.
I mean, it certainly has its challenges, right? The in terms of investing in technology in this space. And whilst, you know, we talk about and publish research on the market and how much it's growing, and there are markets that we think are growing at, you know, double-digit growth, it's not necessarily, like, for many reasons, that all of that market is available to startup companies. Or, you know, there's a lot of, as you mentioned, Nick, billion-dollar companies out there who are also taking their slice of the market and have a large legacy of equipment in the field already. Yeah. But something unique, something with, you know, that sort of rooted in a different business model, like this, you know, open source base model with, you know, enterprise on it, I think is interesting and something that people, software developers that do understand, I think, right, that do, they, you know, it's not exactly, it's not new, is it? It's just something that's new to building. So, you know, I'm excited to see it. To see it grow.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you. I want to ask for, I have one last question for both of you. I mean, if there's one thing you want the audience to take away from this chat today, what would that be? Nick, first.
So, I really good to have the opportunity to come and talk to you again. It's, you know, been an interesting year. Really just wanting to make people aware that we exist as a public company. You get a bit more of a profile than private companies, but we're one of the smallest firms on the market at the moment. And I feel we have got an interesting model in that not only have we got something different to offer to the industry, but it's also something different for investors. It's despite having been around for such a long time, you know, it's a relatively early stage in this opportunity, and I do think, as Mike says, the structure, instead of being some sort of investment fund that wants to try and force incredibly fast growth to get that sort of hockey stick graph, as you say, you know, this is something that is hopefully going to be a really exciting journey, but which it's an ongoing journey. Public companies provide permanent capital. Investors can come in and step away as they wish on their timescale, on their valuations, and they, you know, we're not going to sort of have to sell the business in 3 years' time because a fund closes, and so it lets you take the right decisions for the long term for your customers, and that's got to be good for investors over the long term too. I think that, as I say, the existing businesses, it can provide a good return to shareholders, but that opportunity for spectacular returns comes from something like the smart core opportunity and the ability to be a kind of a red hat for buildings.
Mm-hmm. Mike?
I would echo Nick's sentiment, really. I think it's always been about long-term transformational change for me. So it's exciting to be part of this now that is set up for the longer term rather than, not much past the end of some investors' noses. And then I think the other thing that I'm personally very excited about, I mean, even back in the day when we had our IT and AV in Vanti, it was still all about the experience rather than the technology. And so to now work with a really diverse group of colleagues in terms of defining what that means for some landmark buildings. There's some stuff that we're responding to that is, you know, pretty iconic. And if we get those opportunities, the ability to realize a technology experience that enhances all of the architectural effort over generations. And as a colleague mentioned, to me just yesterday, being custodians of that building for a period of time. As you've articulated beautifully through your rhythms graph that I think we use in pretty much every presentation to people, you know, is that the custodian nature of the structure, but then coming all the way down to the hardware and the software elements so that we can refresh those appropriately to make sure that the experience continues to be great for years to come.
Great point to end on. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And thanks everyone for listening.
Thanks so much.
See you next time. Bye for now.